Telesco just won't give up. Tonight, we find out who killed Nate Sr. and is Bonnie pregnant with Miller's baby? You'll have to stay tuned to find out. This is How to Get Away with Murder.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Welcome back to How to Get Away with Murder.
Woo. What's up? I'm excited for this episode.
Happy
guys.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
Actually, all the love is
I don't believe in that, so let's not.
You know what? Let's
happy,
not do
happy
that.
Singles Awareness Day, guys.
I could not contain my excitement. I'm just so excited to get straight into it.
Yes.
I'm Elena, and I have beautiful co-host next to me, Miss Jamie Gray.
Hi, guys.
And CJ Walker.
What's up? CJ back again, guys.
Back again.
Yes.
We're missing April tonight.
She is in Bama.
You know,
living her best life.
Anyone who goes missing on Valentine's Day is questionable.
Yes, sus.
Where you at, April?
Where you at? we don't have a lot of information. We need more, April.
About where
she
is?
You? Yeah.
Guys,
we miss you.
Tonight's episode was very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
We get a lot of answers. We get to find out if Bonnie can possibly be pregnant. Mm. We find out who actually killed Nate Sr. I don't know if you guys believe that or not. We get an appearance from the governor. It's family bonding, which we love, over a Christmas episode.
Yes.
We have so much in store for you guys.
I was confused about that, the Christmas episode.
I didn't
episode,
like that it was a Christmas episode.
Like on Valentine's Day?
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
We also have our special segment, Keating's Beth. So Woo-hoo. Everyone who's watching, be thinking about that now.
Oh, gosh.
I wrote mine down, so
oh,
I got
it. Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. Actually, yes, I do.
And, of course, our favorite segment, News and
Your
Gossip.
Your favorite segment, you guys.
That will be coming in later, so you guys stay tuned. How do you guys feel about this episode?
I like the word that you used, which was interesting. I'm not... I thought it was a good episode. All the episodes are good, but was it exciting? Was it as suspenseful as I
yes.
usually like? No. But I did like the ending. They always like to give you the little thrills at the end. But I'm also glad that we got to see Cicely Tyson finally.
Loved
we
that.
Did tease that in your favorite segment, News and Gossip, a couple weeks ago, and she's finally here. So, yeah.
Okay, so I thought it was exciting. I really liked this episode. It gave us a lot of information. The only thing I didn't like was it was Christmas on Valentine's Day. I was like, what is this? I feel like they made that episode like a while ago and just threw it in right now, but it's good.
It definitely was interesting that they were bonding over Christmas because we were so removed from
yes.
the holiday. And I think when we watch the show, we get so consumed with where it is. So for us to have gone through Christmas months ago,
mm-hmm.
now we're like, what is happening here?
Right.
Christmas, Hanukkah,
we like to
Kwanzaa,
feel included.
Right. So I think that's just what made it different, especially since there was going to be an episode premiering tonight.
Yeah.
So I remember checking the schedule and I was like, oh, are they going to have a Valentine, like an episode on Valentine's Day or not?
That would have been cute.
But also How to Get Away with Murder just isn't the Valentine kind of show.
Or a holiday.
It could have been, though. You know, like, I get it, though, because, you know, they're coming off of the Connor and Ollie's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they could have made something cute with Gabriel and Michaela. They could have done something cute with Connor and Ollie. Shoot, even Asher and Connor's mom.
I was going to say, please don't say that.
They could have made it really messy.
They could have also did...
There's so many couples.
They could have also did Bonnie, like, being sad because it was Valentine's Day and she doesn't have Miller.
And so Frank comes in with the roses.
Yeah.
You guys have, we'll talk to the writers. We'll get them on the phone next time and just be like,
I mean, I do. Find me. Find my resume. I'm a writer.
Yeah.
Guys, well, okay. So though I feel some type of way about the Christmas episode, I did love the family bonding. I loved everyone coming together and having dinner. I loved the cute stories, the embarrassing moments.
Both the family bondings?
Both family bondings. I mean, one of them is not a family bonding, really, except for Connor's mom. They are a family.
Yeah.
So the Keating Five, four, are a family, plus Gabriel,
right.
plus Connor's mom.
Well, and technically, that's an actual family.
Yeah, technically, Gabriel is Annalise's family, you know, by association.
But Gabriel wasn't at Annalise's family dinner.
True. I like the whole dynamic of the family dinner, seeing Crawford and Tegan there. You know, we had teased that photo, but I like seeing them there with Annalise's mom and how they're, you know, learning that her name is Anna May.
I love that. I always love when they call her Anna May.
Me too. And I even with the dinner that they had with Asher and Connor's mom, she was a bit much for me. You know, it's just like, honey, where's your tact? You are the oldest one here at this table, yet you're the most childish.
Right. But, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. She was a little ditzy.
She seems like really... out there. Like, mm-hmm. she just seems clueless. Like, if they tell her something, she just let it slip or something. She seems like Asher's mom.
Yeah, she. That would be honestly a great match.
It was just interesting to hear you say that, so I thought you were going to say something else. I was like,
No, but, like, I know that Asher can be an airhead. Oh. He's still, like, a dope guy.
This is what happens when your birthday's coming up. You grow. There's maturity. Wow.
We see it. But we like it. Yes.
I do love, though, that Laurel was trying to create moments, you know, for Baby Wes.
What do you mean?
Like, she was taking pictures, and she had Oliver dressed up as Santa Claus, and she was having them do the ornaments. So the family coming together in that aspect makes me happy, except the creepy call that she got from who we suspect to be her mom. Do you guys think it was her mom?
No, didn't she kill her mom?
That's what we thought.
We assumed.
And then they just, like, dropped the storyline.
You know what? They have so much to explain, because in the previous season, you know, we saw Laurel with the scratches on her wrist, and we were wondering where that came from. Mm-hmm. And then when she answered the phone, even when she called her mother, I never heard her say this before, at least from my knowledge, it was like, maman, which I'm guessing that's like French, but I wasn't ready. Okay? So I was a little confused. I was like, ¿qué? ¿Cuál?
That's Spanish, ma. Baby, girl.
Listen, I was still confused. That's what I was thinking in my head.
What I'm confused right now.
So I was just like, what's happening? I don't know if it's Laurel's mom, but I think the writers want us to think that.
Right.
So, yeah.
I still think that Laurel killed her mom, and she was just, like, saying that to throw people off. Or I don't know. I think that was just random because that storyline died so long ago. So
what other woman could it be?
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know if that was a woman. We'll get to that part later, I guess. Because we just never know. They always try to throw us for these loopholes. Mm-hmm. And she's saying, I think it's my mom. But it really might not be.
And then another family member who they weren't at either the dinner, Miller's mom. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's going to start digging into the death.
I think so, too. And we'll get into Miller's funeral and Bonnie and all of that. But my favorite part about family bonding was Orphelia. I think I'm saying that right. Annalise's mom. Because she came in, and we know that she is sick and she's tired, so sometimes she's forgetful. But she was phenomenal. Like, I love when she's in any episode.
Yeah. In anything. I just love her.
One, Cicely Tyson had an amazing performance.
Yes.
Two, I love what it brought to the episode. I love the texture that Annalise's mom played. Her always being super obsessed with Annalise and I was about to say Nathaniel. Because her calling him Nathaniel is just amazing. And for those of you who are watching, comment below on how you feel about her being present. If you want to see Annalise and Nate get married, as she was suggesting, we definitely want you guys to be active with it. What?
Annalise and Nate get married?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how I feel about Annalise and Nate together anymore. I think they've just been through too many roller coasters. Yeah. You know, and I know that Annalise's mom loves Nate, and I like them together, but it's just too much back and forth. I did like the scene where Annalise's mom says, where she's calling her anime, where she tells the lunchbox story. And then Annalise goes and she looks at Nate, and she goes, there's no way in hell that I would have given my lunchbox.
I was giving
away their food.
Yo.
I mean, I might sometimes, but you know.
I literally wanted to cry.
Yeah.
That pulled my heartstrings so bad when she told that story. And then Annalise just was like, nah, that was not.
That made me laugh.
Tough girl.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, do you guys think that story was true? Or do you think that Annalise's mother is experiencing dementia?
It's both, because we've already been exposed to her experiencing dementia, which is also why she surprised me. So when she first came in, you can tell that she was maybe having an episode. When she first interacted with Nate, she asked about his dad. But then later in the episode, she was like, you know, now that he's passed, here are some letters that we used to write. So that confused me, because I didn't know which state she was in.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? And because I remember even paying attention to how Nate played along with her. He was like, I'll let you know. And she was like, make that a promise, or whatever the case may be. I love Nate for playing along, but it confused me on just, is she in the past? Is she in the present? Where is she? How is she actually doing?
Right.
It seemed like she was pretty, like, coherent to me.
Yeah, but she had little moments, like even mixing up that story.
But how do you know it was a mix-up? Annalise just says, that wasn't me, that was Cecilia. She said it was her sister. I think that she was talking about her sister. But how do you know Annalise wasn't just, like, saying that?
Because outside of that instance, Annalisa's mom still, she literally said, "How's your dad doing?" in the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then later said, "Oh, I know he's dead." You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was just confusing. And maybe that was just me. I don't know. Leave in the comments if you were confused with which mental state she was in.
Yeah.
Also. But, so I brought up Annalisa and Nate getting married because when she brought that up, you can see both of them kind of, their light bulbs going off. Because it's true. If they were married, they wouldn't have to testify against each other for whatever Annalise will be talking to the FBI about.
That'd be just, it's too much.
It's so much.
But I like, or I didn't like, I just thought it was funny when Annalisa's mom said, "Is that your boyfriend?" Or, "It sounds like a boyfriend," to Crawford. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I feel like they would make a better couple now than Nate and Annalise.
I don't know.
Annalise is going to stay single.
Yeah.
But no, out of everyone at that dinner, I want Annalise to be with Tegan.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was interesting, Crawford's speech at the dinner table. When her mom was like, "It sounds like that's a boyfriend." I was just like, dude, you so in love. Like, you want attention so bad.
Pressed.
It made me uncomfortable a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he was just asking for too much. Like, just be happy to be in a room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For you to get up and give a speech, we're not even that close.
He probably was just, like, felt awkward about the whole thing and didn't really know what to say.
That happens, too. That's a good point,
yeah.
CJ.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, because, you know, like, when people are getting nervous, they just start talking.
Yeah.
Just to talk, which I hate. Sorry. But, like, some people do that. And I think, you know, also, he was one of the minorities at the table.
Right.
So he might have felt a little bit more uncomfortable.
True. I mean, true. It's possible.
But then, bounce back to the other family reunion. Did you find it weird that how, like, Connor's mom was the only mom there? I kind of did, because when she, like, mentioned that, like, where everyone else's family, I thought that was weird, too. Because, like, they all have families, so.
Well, maybe Ollie's mom was like, "Listen, I don't know what's going on with all this controversy after this wedding, people dying, and it was snowing, and it was cold." She's probably just like, "You're lucky that I came to this wedding, you know, and I'm, just don't include me in on this, you know?"
Yeah.
Because Ollie's mom already seemed kind of withdrawn anyway. She just wanted to be there for the wedding, so I didn't expect to see her there. Really? But Connor's mom, the ditzy woman that she plays, you know, she's probably just like, "Yeah, I'm going to hang out with Asher." And, like, you know, that's her scene. She wanted that.
Yeah, I guess.
So. I was going to say, I feel like the reason Connor's mom was there was because of the Asher connection.
Yeah.
It is interesting that none of their parents are around, but we kind of know the backstory with their parents. Like, Michaela and her parents are estranged and apparently trying to pay off some gambling debt, as she mentioned tonight. Laurel doesn't have parents. Basically, her mom's disappeared. Her dad's in jail, rotten. Gabriel, surprisingly, for him to be as close as he is with his mom, for him to choose not to go home.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or to not invite her.
And where could his mother possibly be?
Also,
there's just so many things.
Why are we still talking about his mom and we haven't seen her?
Yeah. I don't think she's
like,
real.
Is she even alive? Is she sick? Is she in the hospital? Like, maybe she's in the hospital. That's why he can't visit. And it's just so many reasons it could be.
It's just interesting. And then for Frank to bring him over for Christmas dinner. The Christmas dinners were just very, very interesting.
Yeah. It gave us a lot of information.
It gave us a lot of information. And an underlying thread for both dinners was Agent Telesco.
Yeah.
Yes.
She...
I don't like her.
Just will not give up.
Yeah. I want to know, like, what her obsession is with this.
She seemed a little salty, too, when she was like, "Yeah, I wasn't invited to this."
I think she might be in
Why
love.
Why would you
well,
be?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because after, like, watching the whole episode, now I think that she might have a thing for Annalise.
I think she might be in love, especially when she mentioned to Tegan not being invited. I was like, maybe she has some type of fetish for Annalise, and we find out that she does swing for the other side.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Tegan can seduce anyone. Why is that funny?
Yeah.
I think Tegan can seduce anyone, truthfully, so it wasn't surprising.
And she does it, like, tastefully. It's cute when she does it. It's not creepy.
It's
like
very sexy.
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying, actually.
Tegan, I wrote Tegan's making money moves. Because she was like, get over here.
Literally, though.
She's like, get over here. She got over there. Tegan is the man. She's the woman.
Oh my God.
She's the woman.
Agent Telesco pops in, calls Annalise before all the family bonding even happens to ask about her coming to speak in and possibly getting immunity. And I don't know how you guys feel at home or how y'all felt watching it. I didn't understand what she was offering Annalise immunity for. Like,
For information about everything.
But why would that be on the table about, you know, because it was never.
Because I feel like she finally, like, clicked something. Something clicked in her head and was like, Annalise has her foot in all of this. Maybe she's not the one who did this, but she knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get all the information from her, I could take all of them down.
I also want to shout out, I don't remember who exactly it was in a chat room, but this was someone's prediction. Someone said that possibly Annalise would be the one to turn on everyone because she's the only one who hasn't killed anyone.
Yeah.
And
Frank, did we say that for prediction?
I think I said that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, CJ.
See? And Frank mentioned it this episode. Frank was like, you know, she's the only one who hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
So when Agent Telesco called her, I was like, ooh, your prediction was right. She might switch on everyone.
And then go ahead and move, get her and her mom out of the wherever they're at, and yeah.
I agree.
So but obviously it doesn't go that way.
Wait, what?
It doesn't go the direction of her switching on everyone.
No, I do just see Annalise, like, ratting everyone out, and then it just being, that's the finale. And then the next season, if there is one, they're all going to be, like, angry at Annalise, and it's going to break down from that, and that's going to be like the series finale.
It's just really interesting. It's interesting to me that we still don't know what Operation Bonfire is exactly. Like, what crime do they want someone to be punished for?
But then I'm wondering, okay, did anyone ever wonder why it was called Operation Bonfire? Maybe because the first episode was a bonfire. Remember when they had actually killed Sam?
Maybe
that big fire?
Bonnie's on fire.
That's what I was thinking, Bonnie. But then I'm like, no, the bonfire. It all started with the bonfire.
It did all start with the bonfire.
Yeah.
So is it Sam's case? It's just so much. It's so much intertwined. It's so much looped in that we really just don't even know what Agent Telesco was really investigating.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Granted, it's all the crimes that have happened. But are you trying to pin it on one person? Like, what is the goal here? Because even after Tegan, who was an MVP tonight, even after she's gone through everything and Telesco gets pulled off of Operation Bonfire, we still don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also back to your Tegan thing, being the MVP, I literally wrote, Tegan did that underlined because she did.
Caps.
She killed it.
Yeah, she did.
But yeah, I think that's why, also another reason why I think that Annalise and Tegan, like, would make a dope team. So,
I'm still a little skeptical.
Do you guys not feel like it's shady for Tegan to have to be close with Telesco as she is and to have slept with her to kind of switch her and then go talk to Annalise about it?
No, that's
I was
a
nervous
boss move.
About it. At first, I was nervous, like, oh my gosh, Tegan, you know, because we've seen her talk to the feds before,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, maybe she is still upset at Annalise and has this little rivalry going on. I don't know, but now it's like, okay, she took one for the team. We love you for that. So,
yeah.
You know, but it's still up in the air, and I'm not ready to fully trust her yet.
Like Tegan, more like Lori Harvey.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, stop it. No.
Please stop it.
She's younger than all of us.
I was nervous that Tegan, when Tegan first started to go on to Agent Telesco. I thought that it was because she didn't want Annalise to have immunity.
The whole thing confused me because Tegan, I was wondering if she didn't want Annalise to have immunity or if she did.
Right.
And also I was like, why is it even her business?
Exactly.
So that's why I think they're both obsessed with her, and maybe Tegan is like, I'm gonna win.
Right. It was, I don't know, it was just interesting because when it comes to Annalise speaking with the FBI, Nate and both Frank wanted her to take the deal.
Who?
Nate and Frank said, you should take the immunity deal.
Yeah, I mean, I thought if that was me, I would have been like, sorry guys, I didn't do anything. I gotta go.
I mean, I don't think it was like that. I think they more so just want her to be protected because
she didn't do anything and she's the leader.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The cutest moment though between Nate and Annalise is when she was telling him about the about Agent Celeste, the FBI offering her immunity, and she was like, you think I should sell you out and put you in jail? And he was like, you did it before. I was like, ooh, because she, ooh.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like you literally, the thing that I had to get away with Mother Teaches is that you literally cannot forget what happens in previous seasons because it'll come back to bite you. Yeah. So that's what I'm realizing because I'm like, anybody could go off the deep end at this point. Yeah. And that, I'm not even thinking anybody from the K4, but I'm thinking like Bonnie, even Frank, but Nate and Annalise, like anything could possibly send them over the edge.
So how did with the FBI like really pressuring in? Did anyone else heart drop when the FBI showed up to get the wedding photos in Oliver's computer?
No,
No.
Just yours? Because it's like it's like you expected they're gonna have to confiscate something. They were also in Gabriel's room as well, so it's like I wasn't necessarily nervous about them raiding their house. I was just kind of like, so what's the aftermath? What's going to happen because of this? But I wasn't nervous in the moment.
I wasn't nervous about the wedding photos, but I was nervous about the laptop because I don't know if they planned. Like, they were doing what they needed to do when it came down to the wedding photos. We saw that. But when it came down to everything else, we didn't really know.
But I feel like Oliver's a smart enough guy to have put something on his laptop that he can only get to things.
Yeah, I trust Ollie. He's got it.
I feel like they won't be able to find anything. If he's as smart as we think he is, they won't be able to find anything without him letting
He didn't even seem that worried himself. And I also feel like Ollie probably has some way that he can access his computer even without him being in front of his computer where he can get things off. So I fully trust Oliver.
Yeah.
I thought about the fact that he can do that, but it still made me feel some type of way, especially with his mom being present and her wanting answers. But kudos to Connor for really covering that up after the FBI showed up to their house and him switching it to make it about the civil suit. I was very impressed with him.
Connor's like one of the smartest people in the K4.
You think so?
Absolutely. Connor's like, they're all smart, but Connor is the one that they always kind of rely on. It's Connor and Michaela.
Are you disagreeing, CJ?
I mean, you know Viola loves Connor. Connor has helped her win that Supreme Court case. You can't...
Well, Oliver is clearly the smartest in the group.
He's tech savvy, but can he solve crimes and do what the ultimate K4 does? No.
What does Connor bring?
It's fact. I'm sorry. It's not...
Leave a comment down below.
But, like, Connor is he's one of the smartest ones there. Like, as far as, like, strategy.
I think
Laurel. And, like, helping them, keeping them safe. Laurel's great with, like, helping them with cases. And then Michaela's great at, like, closing cases. She's always, like, able to get dirt on somebody.
Maybe they all just have a good thing they're good at and they all collectively.
I think the most intelligent one is...
Is Oliver and Laurel. And then Asher.
Oliver's definitely tech savvy.
Yeah.
Laurel is really good at being sneaky.
Laurel's just like, she just gets emotional, but I think she's really smart.
Yes. However, logically, I'll agree with Jamie. Connor is logically sound.
I guess we're going to agree to disagree.
As always.
I want to talk about Miller's funeral.
Miller's funeral?
Okay. Yeah. Because... Because it kind of sprung out on us.
Okay. Yeah. What do you
I mean, I expected there to be a funeral. I was definitely sad for Miller's mother, who is grieving. And then when she's talking to Bonnie, I always, you know, whenever we get introduced to a new character, I do get a little nervous. So I was nervous about her speaking to Bonnie, asking her about the governor. What did you know? You worked closely with my son, and I'm sure you knew the governor, you know, Annalise, all that. So it's like, what is it?
Yeah,
you know?
And back to what I was saying, like, at the beginning, when I feel like Miller's mom is going to start digging into Miller's death.
Right. But before we go on to the next topic, thank you guys so much for watching our show just to begin with. Thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We truly, truly appreciate it. And we could always use your help as viewers. So one of the first things that you can do is, of course, like this video, thumbs it up. Also, subscribe, ring that notification bell. That way you can know whenever we are going to go live. Or if you don't want to, you don't have to ring the bell. It's okay. But make sure to like and subscribe. Also, you can listen to us on iTunes. Those of you that are listening, hey. And Spotify as well. Give us 5 stars because the other 4 don't work. And you could also leave a comment. Keep the conversation going. And we really, really do appreciate you guys for helping us out. AfterBuzz has done so much for me and a lot of the hosts here. It gives us so many opportunities. And it's great to, of course, you know, keep the conversation going with you guys. So leave a comment. And we love you guys. Thanks.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
And choose between who you think the smartest person of the Keating Five is in the comments. We literally want to get into that.
Yeah.
So wait, so going into the funeral, we get into this funeral, and what was so interesting, and I know that CJ keeps bringing it up, it's the fact that Miller's mom seems suspicious toward Bonnie.
Makes me nervous. But she, her, even just her whole aura, she came out of nowhere. I get it. Your son died. She's going to pop up.
That sounds so insensitive.
No, it's not to be insensitive. And I'm sorry. It's a show. It's fiction. But let's, like, be real. I expected her mom, his mom to pop up. Like, you know, he died. But just her whole presence, her whole aura, she seems suspicious of Bonnie and everybody. And I'm just worried about Bonnie. I don't know what's going on with her. And is she pregnant? I don't know. Yes, but at the same time, it's making me nervous for the K5. Whose side are you on?
Whose side am I on?
Yeah.
Clearly Miller's mom.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't care about that lady.
Are you kidding me?
No.
She's innocent. She's not done anything except lose a son. Why would you not be on her side?
Right. She's going to be skeptical, but it's like, I still trust her.
So why would you not be on
her? Also, think about it. Her son is the DA. I wonder if, like, his mom was ever, you know, had, like, a huge position. You know, like, I'm wondering. And also, where's his dad? Maybe it's just so many questions.
I love how smart she is, though. For her to address Bonnie at the funeral was like, well, you have to know something because you brought up the governor before that went out. I thought they were going to dig into that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised to see the governor at the end of this episode. So the way that transpired was interesting. But I really thought that they were going to get into more of, yeah, Bonnie, how did you know that? Why did you ask me about the governor? How did you know that this was involved? Like, why didn't the receptionist also kind of... I didn't see her at the funeral, by the way.
Who?
The receptionist.
Mild
observation. I didn't see her at the funeral, but it would have been pretty interesting for the receptionist and Miller's mom to confront Bonnie about the governor.
But why would the receptionist even have, like, something to say?
Because Bonnie was harassing her about if she remembers Miller ever talking to the governor.
Okay.
And, I mean, this whole story's on the news. Like, I would be nervous, too. Like, all this is happening around you. You could be a potential suspect, too. So it's like, you can't trust anybody.
Can't trust these people.
No.
And with all of the stuff happening with the funeral, Bonnie might, like, I thought Bonnie was pregnant. She's not. She said no.
Well, she might not be because some tests are, like, false.
So you think it was a false test?
I mean, it could be.
Do y'all at home think Bonnie lied about her pregnancy results?
Not lied, but it could be like the test just could have gotten it wrong. She could have got
sometimes
something
from
the Dollar Tree.
A couple times though too, and Dollar Tree's, you know, I'm sure not that I've done this, I've heard that Dollar Tree pregnancy tests are just as good as like Clear Blue or something.
Honestly,
have you noticed?
Word of mouth.
I was here for Bonnie being pregnant.
Yeah, I would love to see her pregnant because I'm like, she needs some joy, but also nervous that a lot of babies are stressed, you know, from the stress that you're going through, so I don't know.
That also confused me because when when Frank asked if Bonnie was pregnant, I was like, has Bonnie and Frank been, like, in relations?
They haven't.
Because hasn't it been a while for it to be, like, Miller's baby?
No.
I don't know. Well, that confused me because I was like, is Frank and Bonnie like doing the do?
They did,
but not recently. Not
but, like,
since
she's
Miller
been sleeping
not,
in his bed.
Yeah, but they're not being sexual. Like he's being very supportive. He's being super sweet. Actually,
I mean, like,
but
how
they
supportive,
had been
though,
sexual before.
And how supportive?
And it, like, because not even just in that flashback, but they had sex just like 2 seasons ago. So that's why I'm like, maybe when she, you know, she needs that comfort. So we're hoping that it's Miller's. But what I'm thinking they're going to do is, let's say if Bonnie did end up pregnant, she's going to think that it's Miller's when it's really Frank's.
They're not even sleeping together.
They are sleeping together.
Oh, my God.
I think they are. If you guys think they're sleeping together,
no,
leave a comment.
They're 100% sleeping together.
We mean having sex.
Are they having intercourse?
They're not.
Still, I mean,
they have an intercourse. They are grown people.
Bonnie's
stressed.
Yes.
Bonnie's not pregnant. She said she's not pregnant. I would have loved for her to be pregnant. And it also brought up just how we never got a follow-up from her son and her sister. Like, we got into that a little bit when Miller was alive. And then we don't know what happened.
Like, they just trail off of these tangents.
It's too much. Because, we still don't know about so many people. Gabriel's mother, Laurel's mother, and her dad. And then everyone else that we just mentioned. Michaela's parents. Like, just so many people are going to come out the woodworks. How to Get Away with Murder could go on for seasons and seasons to come.
Right.
So,
before we get into our special segment, there are two topics that I want to get into.
Okay.
One, Nate being super genius for framing the death of Miller and the way that he did when it comes down to the soil on the tire tracks, the bleaching of the body, like the way that he made that to the construction, it was just like, you really do got something going on.
Smart black man, you know. I mean, but he also is a detective, so it's like he would know what the FBI would expect and not expect. So I'm like, hopefully there's no holes in his method, but Nate's a smart man. He's like, listen, I'm about to find out who killed my dad. You're not about to have me in jail and then kill me too. Like, no.
I was just super surprised. I love that Frank gave him kudos for that.
Yeah.
And then speaking of him being so into who killed his dad, do y'all believe the governor when she says that it's Crawford?
Nope. Nope. I don't.
Yes, right now. For right now, I do believe her, but I'm just like, Annalise, why would you meet with the governor when she probably knows that you're framing her? I was like, does someone have a wire? Is there somebody watching? Like, church or not?
Why would Crawford want Nate Sr. dead? Yeah,
that makes no sense.
So in my head, I was thinking Crawford might want him dead because remember when Annalise was going to say deuces to Crawford and his firm just to go with the governor anyway? Mm. And then Nate Sr. happened to die. Like,
very interesting.
You know, I feel like Crawford is petty. Time?
Yes,
Crawford's petty and he's messy because, like, even if you were in love with your old client from your last position, that was still messy, too. It's like he's one of those men that knows better, but he does the opposite.
He's messy and petty enough to kill
Yeah.
Nate. Oh.
Especially, like, an old man in jail that's, like, and also, this was a case that stressed him and his firm out because they were trying to make sure that
Nate
would
really be okay.
That's a
really good point, Jamie.
You know, and also, remember when Crawford, was that episode earlier this season, he was just sitting in his office looking really distraught, and Annalise could see him because, you know, he knew that Annalise wanted to leave, and we weren't really sure if his firm was going to lose money because they were in a tight pickle. So I feel like Crawford is the type where he's sneaky, and, you know, it's his name on the line, too. And I think he's sneaky. And he also feels he's the least suspectable. Who expects him?
So with the next two episodes, we're really going to have to keep an eye out on Crawford. For Tegan. Like, it's just so much happening. So, like, this episode wasn't as thrilling as you mentioned, but it was a lot of information, which has us thinking. Like, there could be hundreds of scenarios just based off of the information we received tonight.
Right.
We would literally run ourselves crazy.
Yeah, my mind's like
going crazy. Well, let's move into our special segment. I hope you guys have been thinking about your Keating's best.
Yes.
Keating's best.
I was feeling we should just say it at the same time.
So, we have to explain what Keating's best is.
Yeah.
Keating's best is basically when we choose who the MVP is of tonight's episode out of everyone minus Keating because it is Keating's best. So should we all just say it at the same time? Because I feel like we are going to have the same
Let's
answer.
See. And then we can explain just in case if it's different. You ready?
All right, we all have
one,
the same answer.
1, 2, 3.
Tegan!
Yes. Tegan did that. She did. She did. She, like, killed everything. She had to sleep with the Telesco.
She didn't have to.
Well, she slept with Telesco.
She probably wanted to, and she's like, she's going to get her cake and eat it too.
She's my best just because she brought Annalise into what she was doing. However, I still was confused on why Tegan would do that in the first place. Like, why do we not want Annalise to talk with the FBI?
I think, you know, I think that people still underestimate Tegan. I feel like she thinks that, not us, but I think that she thinks the K4 underestimate her because she's like, I am still the HBIC in here. Okay, you guys came here, you know, when I was already here. I'm a great lawyer. Tegan is smart and she's up there with Annalise. So I think she still has the power to twist this thing out on her own to come out on top. Because
I agree.
I just, again, I do like Tegan, but do I trust her fully? No.
I think Tegan's the realest person on that.
We don't know enough about her.
Also, let me just throw this in there because I was thinking about it since we all said Tegan. Nate is my second best, and then Annalise's mom. But Nate is my second best because a few episodes ago, we were calling him crazy. He was being reactive and erratic. And he hasn't showed us any of those signs the past 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah.
He's been very logically. Everything that he's been doing and all of the craziness that he's been going through has started to make sense. So I also just want to kudos to him because he's saving their, you know, him and Bonnie's butt.
Yeah.
Everyone, let us know who you think your Tegan's best is in the comments. Or not Tegan.
Tegan's best. Slow down a little bit.
Remix.
Let us know who your Keating's best is in the comments if you agree that it's Tegan or someone else, let us know. We'd love to hear you out.
Yeah.
I also want to hear why you think it might not be Tegan. I'm curious to know that.
Yeah,
let us know.
Let's move into some news and gossip.
Our favorite segment. You ready? All right, so we have some non-Instagram picks today. I want to start with the NAACP Image Awards. You guys, I had the pleasure of going to this award ceremony. Not the actual awards, but they announced the nominations. So it's an exciting time for a lot of actors. The first nomination that I wanted to show you guys is How to Get Away with Murder. They are nominated for Outstanding Drama Series. Snaps. So that's super exciting. And this is just pretty much three as a whole, because Viola Davis is in Widows. Widows in the next photo. They are nominated for Outstanding Ensemble Cast in a Motion Picture. That's also exciting.
Is that Crazy Rich Asians?
Crazy Rich Asians is also nominated. Now, of course, for those of you that are wondering, NAACP is for colored people, not just black people. So Asians are included as well.
I was just mentioning that because Crazy Rich Asians is the best movie of all time. Honestly, go see that right now. I love it.
Okay. It was great, but the best.
I guess.
That's a little...
was awesome. Well, you know, Constance Wu is nominated in the next photo for Outstanding Actress in a Motion Picture, but let's give it up for Viola Davis, who was nominated for Widows, for her performance in Widows. So congrats. The NAACP Image Awards is a big deal, and it's going to be airing in March, and it's the 50th annual one, so there you go. Now, next story that I wanted to tell you guys is Jack Fallahy, who plays Connor, one of my favorites, the smartest guy on there. So he actually has a campaign with Oben. It's a whiskey. Anybody here like whiskey?
I like alcohol.
I'm more of a like light liquor wine type of gal, but you know. But I wanted to show the next photo that shows you how it's pronounced. It's spelled O-B-A-N, but it's pronounced Oben, and it shows you right there. So he is campaigning with them, and I think that's really awesome. Doing big things.
Good for him.
Yeah. And also Jack Fallahy.
Some samples.
I know, right, Jack? Hey, we're all of age.
We'll
here.
Do a review for the finale.
Give me a shot of the whiskey. Chaser.
We're gonna need it.
Yes. Also, speaking of the finale, so Jack had a recent interview with Us Weekly, where he says, "With the finale, we might be sad." Yes. Just go ahead and play a quick clip from this clip where he talks with Us Weekly.
I'm a little nervous.
I know.
I don't want to be sad.
Why? I mean, it's a sad show. The last episode is actually titled "Please Tell Me That No One Else Is Dead." So,
like, what does he have to say? I want it to be thrilling, but I don't want to be sad.
Right. We'll just play a quick clip, and then the rest of it you can catch on Us Weekly. Let's hear it.
Two more episodes left until the finale.
Yes. That's right.
A lot is going on.
A lot is going on.
Two more episodes. He looks good.
Do we actually think that they're going to get away with murder this time?
Uh-oh. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
you know, but you don't.
You know.
I do know, but yeah, I can't tell.
He seems like he lost
I was talking about this with a friend of mine.
He definitely doesn't look like Connor.
How in the early seasons, I was much more confident, I think, in thinking like, oh yeah, like they're going to get away with it.
Sure.
But now as the show's gone on, I'm starting to reconsider my position on that.
And I think that goes into your prediction.
Or go to federal prison.
Something has to happen. Yeah. Something bad happens.
And at least turning on them.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for that clip, you guys. Are you guys excited? Are you nervous? Yes.
No, this makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Him saying we're going to be sad, not knowing if they're going to get away with murder, that makes me very...
Someone's going to die.
Well, would you say the name of the episode was?
Please Tell Me No One Else Is Dead.
Yeah, so I feel like... Well, I'll save that for predictions.
Yeah, two more episodes.
Well, let's go ahead and move into predictions while we're here.
Let's do it.
All right. Well,
yes. Oh,
you know I love this. Eerie.
Take it away, CJ. What's your prediction?
Back to what he was saying and what you said the name of the episode was, Please Don't Tell Me Anyone Else Is Dead. Mm-hmm. I think that Annalise is going to, like, take the immunity deal. They're going to give her another immunity deal or something. She's going to take it, turn them all in, and then she's going to be, like, giving them names, and they're going to be like, please don't tell me anyone else is dead. And we're going to be sad because she just turned everyone in.
Okay, I'll let that be your prediction. I don't know that I agree. I don't think it's going to go like that necessarily, because Annalise was in the battle with herself when she was talking to her mom on whether she should love herself and choose herself or save everyone else. And, like, her mom was giving her the advice of, if you save everyone else and you loving on everyone else is going to fill you up and make you happy. So I think she's going to be in a place where she doesn't know if she wants to make that decision to turn everyone in or if she really wants to try to find a way to save everyone. And she loves a good challenge.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I can't jump on board with the prediction, but it's definitely a possibility.
Right, right. So I have a few. First of all, Crawford is in trouble. I actually think if people find out or if he finds out that other people are on to him and he really did do it, this guy might actually commit suicide. He just seems like he has a little bit of a loose screw. Mm. Him and homegirl from his old client where he was messing with her. And I just feel like he can't handle it. He just seems like a little ticky-ticky boom-boom. And I'm waiting for that. Who could possibly die in the finale? I'm thinking either Nate, just by someone just killing him, or he kills himself, or Bonnie, same thing. Or even Bonnie's... the last episode, the finale, I truly believe someone will die. Or Bonnie's sister or something, somewhere around those lines. But those are my predictions for who will die. As far as who Gabriel's on the phone with, I don't know if that's his mom or not. Like, oh, yeah, I was with Michaela all day. No, you weren't. Like, who is he talking to? We don't know that yet, but I'm still a little skeptical about that. And I think I am going to say Nate might be the one who might be dead, only because he worries me from time to time. He lost his wife. I almost forgot about that. He lost his dad, who he hadn't known for a while, and then, you know, all of a sudden, bam, he's dead. And he also helped kill one of his friend's boyfriend, who was going to be her fiance. Like, imagine that pressure. And he's probably tired of his job anyway. Like, oh, my gosh, it's thankless. So that's my predictions.
I think my prediction is that Annalise and Nate will pick something back up. I know we don't want to see them together. I know that we're kind of over it. But I don't think that they had her mom tease that for no reason. And especially since she was possibly being offered immunity, she can tell on everyone. And she might not want to tell on Nate just because he's been through all of those things you just listed. So my prediction is that they are going to get involved in some way again.
Right.
And that's going to be her release because, again... We're used to Annalise sleeping with somebody, and she ain't been sleeping with nobody this season.
She's saving it.
So, my prediction is that. Any final thoughts before we reconvene next week?
I have a final thought. Okay. My birthday's in five.
Oh my gosh, no. Your B-Day.
Of course it's your birthday.
5 days. Next time you guys see me, I'll be another year old.
You'll be a grown man. Oh my gosh.
Well, as always, thanks for tuning in, guys. I'm Elena. You can follow me on all social platforms at @Hey_It'sLay.
I'm Jamie. You can find me on Twitter @It'sJamieGray or on Instagram @JamieGray.
What's up, guys? Thanks for listening. I'm CJ Walker. You can find me everywhere @ICJWalker, even on YouTube, because I'm a YouTuber.
Please, please, please leave comments down below. We'd love to hear your thoughts about tonight's episode, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
You are tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the... Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.